Welcome back to the Southwest Virginia Sports Podcast. My name is Ryan Dye. My amazing, wonderful, sweet, kind, best friend Brady is on the other side of the line here. How are you, Brady?
I'm doing very well, man. I appreciate the kind intro there. I felt like Pat McAfee was introing me to his podcast with that little intro you just gave, but I always appreciate the nice words and hope that you have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow. Hope our Hokies get a win on Friday. Hope the Blues get a win on Saturday. And hope you get your belly full of fellowship and feast tomorrow with the fam, brother.
Yeah, let's just add in a nice Colts victory there on Sunday over the Dolphins, and I'll have a pretty good week if all those things come true.
Hey, there you go, man. That's how it goes.
It is. Before we get into football this week, obviously this podcast at this point of the 10 time of the year is focused on football, but we'd like to give credit where credit is due in Southwest Virginia, and we have a state champion to talk about. Congratulations to the Patrick Henry girls volleyball team, Class 1 state champions. They won it last night in Roanoke over Riverheads.
Yeah, big congratulations to those girls. Always good to see the gold come home to Southwest Virginia. I'm sure the people in Glade Spring are very fired up about that. I'm pretty fired up about it, and I know that they would love to see that translate into the gridiron this weekend. They got a big task at hand, Ryan.
They do. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, we have a So, in full disclosure, we've been kind of picking players of the week, but we've been doing it as a staff instead of having it be done as a fan vote. So with that said, why don't you tell them who the players of the weeks were for the last 2 weeks, since we forgot to say it last week?
You know, it's been busy over here, man, with everything with work for Ryan and work for Eugene and then work and studying for the LSAT for me. It's just kind of grabbed us by the horns, and we've done the best we can. I hope the product's been great, but we're a couple weeks late with the playoffs, but we have some very deserving players of the week to honor. In round one, the offensive player of the week was Mount View's Elijah Barner, who ran for 4 touchdowns in the first Mount View playoff win since 2003. And Chilhowee's Logan Branson broke the school record for tackles for a loss in a season in the shutout of Eastside. Round two, Chilhowee's Greg Sanchez takes home the offensive player of the week, and Galax's Kate Ashworth takes home the defensive player of the week in the Maroon Tide's victory over the George Wythe Maroons. So look for those articles to come out very soon, and those guys are on the ballot for the player of the year in a race that seems to have been heating up as of late.
Yeah, we were just kind of talking about it. That player of the year race is going to be fun to see who gets picked. I think we might explain that maybe on next week's podcast as far as how that process is going to work in its entirety. Let's get to some picks, man. Let's start in the wild and wonderful state. Bluefield played Kaiser, shut them out, 35-0.
Yeah, absolutely. The Beavers keep rolling over Kaiser. Juice Edwards, 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. J.J. Davis, 154 yards and a dash to pay dirt. The Beavers rolling, and they are going to roll into a rematch with Bridgeport this coming Friday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, Bluefield really rolling. We pretty much said all year, I'm not sure there's a team out there that can beat them, and I'm going to stick to that prediction. So that is what it is. You'll find that out later, I guess. Mount View falls in a historic season for the Golden Knights over there. Mount View 12, Williamstown 23 over there on the turf in Princeton.
Yeah, Jesse Rose was 8 for 19 for 125 yards and a touchdown, which was caught by Marcus Ray, who was 54 yards on the receiving end of those passes and a touchdown. Terry Heaton, 13 carries, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Barner was limited, Ryan, to 79 yards. That might have been the benefactor there for Williamstown. Micah McLaughlin, 11 tackles. Ty Powell, 10 tackles. Heaton and Barner both recovered fumbles. Let's look back at the season that was for Mount View real quick, Ryan. Elijah Barner, 1,139 yards, 15 touchdowns. That's 103 yards per contest. Ty Powell, 1,064 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's 88.7 yards per game. Barner finished the season with 107 tackles. Powell finished with 100. Larry Thompson has turned that bunch around. That was probably the funnest team to follow this year, Ryan, just because the last 20 years have not been great for Mount View, just to be quite frank. And they come out, lose 2 ball games this year, 1 to Williamstown and 1 to Bobby Wyatt's Pikeview Panthers. But the historic season in Welch comes to an end. And they got that playoff win for the first time since 2003, and I really look forward to seeing what those guys can do in 2019.
Yeah, it was fun to follow that team. You know, that's a team that, you know, as we were growing up at Richlands, you know, that was an afterthought of a football team, and it's been really fun to give, not only just to follow that team, but to give those kids some love that they deserve this year as a team. You know, like we said, one of the most historic seasons that team's ever had over there. So congratulations to them on an amazing season. Over into the Virginia ranks, Galax gets the rematch with George Wythe, 42-14, a big day for Blake Brown.
Yeah, Blake Brown, 204 yards on the ground. Caxton Vaught, 145. Man, these guys are good. They're willing to shape. The only thing slowing down Dixon and the gang is 14 penalties for 115 yards in that contest. You can't be playing undisciplined football this late into the game. Maroons finish with a great season there in Wytheville. Simmons, 20 of 42, 248 yards for George Wythe. But that's not enough. Galax cruises to victory.
And they would get the winner of the Narrows-Perry McClure rematch. There were some fireworks in this one, some fisticuffs. We had a coach knocked out. All sorts of crazy things happened in this one. But Narrows got their revenge against Perry McClure, 56-28, to head on to face Galax next week.
Yeah, I think when Dave Portnoy and the Barstool Sports Gang decide where the next Rough and Rowdy Brawl should be, you should look no further than Narrows, Virginia. Matthew Morgan, 3 touchdowns. Chase Blaker adds 2 more, lifts the green wave over the Fighting Blues. Morgan, he had 55 yards on 12 carries. Wyatt Freeman, 13 of 18, 215 yards through the air.
I just want to say a PSA right here while we have an audience. There's a video floating around from the Perry McClure side of that fight. If you, as a human being, are cheering for the other team's coach getting literally knocked out, you should reevaluate a lot of things in your life and consider the fact that this is high school football. And this is not life or death. This is, I understand that emotions run high at football games, but to be cheering and to be excited for a man getting knocked out trying to stop kids from fighting is just a little out of line. And I just wanted to bring light to that. That if you know, obviously I don't think Perry McClure fans listen to this, but if they do, and you are one of them, then shame on you. Moving on into Region D. Jill Howie going up against Grundy, Pfizer, Sanchez, big names, but a big score in this one. Jill Howie, 63, Grundy, 14.
Yeah, Jill Howie finishes with 610 yards of total offense, Ryan. This is the highest point total that the Warriors have put up this season. 12-0, they've shown no sign of weakness. That's what Tim Hayes said in the Bristol Herald Courier. Pfizer entered the contest well over 2,000 yards. He finishes the season with 2,528 for his career, Ryan. He goes 4,544 yards. That's a pretty impressive career. He went over the 300-yard mark 3 different times, but against Chilhowee, he was limited to 96 yards. Let's talk about Greg Sanchez, who now has 1,621 yards on the year, 5,245 for his career. That's impressive. The Warriors just keep rolling, man.
Yeah, it's a scary football team you don't want to play, and they're going to face the winner of Patrick Henry, J.I. Burton. This one didn't go so well for me. Patrick Henry rolls 61-36 to the victory over the Raiders.
Man, I've been on this Patrick Henry train since week 3 when I saw him up close and personal. And I think some people finally started to take notice last week. But nonetheless, the Rebels rolled 348 yards on the ground. Let's look, Cody Smith, 23 carries, 158 yards, 2 total touchdowns. That was 1 touchdown. That was an interception to the house. Zach Brown, 3 total touchdowns, 19 carries, 147 yards. One of those touchdowns was a kick return. Patrick Henry's only won 11 games in school history one other time. That was in 97. The second time being this year. They're 11-1 right now. Houston Thacker bids adieu to Southwest Virginia High School football. 4 touchdowns and 288 yards for the Raider quarterback.
Over to Class 2 over in Region C, Radford 20, Gretna 7 in a rematch of a game that was played earlier this year that was a one-possession game. Gretna had 135 rushing but had 4 turnovers, and that'll do it.
Yeah, they had 59 yards passing too, but 31 of that came on a touchdown pass. The only one for the Hawks. How about that Bobcat defense? We always talk about P.J. Prelude, but how about that defense? Let's talk about Prelude, Ryan. 135 yards and a touchdown on the Bobcats' way to victory.
I'm not looking forward to watching Rich Lands play P.J. Preleu next year. Well, yeah, I guess part of me is excited to see it, but the other part of me is not excited to see it.
Yeah, that's tough. That's going to be a tough one for the Blues, but the Blues got themselves a big win recently.
Yeah, that's a beautiful segue you just did right there. Richlands goes up on Rose Ridge for the first time in school history as a 5 seed, and they pull the upset. They beat Ridgeview 31-21. Big game for quarterback Race Moyer.
Yeah, Race, man. God love Gugus. 146 passing yards, 143 rushing yards. That's a big day for Race Moyer. Very proud of that young man. Known him my whole life and a part of the back pew crew at the First Christian Church in Richlands, along with myself, Flo Forrest, and Flea Forrest. But nonetheless, I digress. 482 yards of total offense for the Blues. Trey Brown, 24 carries, 90 yards. Really great performance for the Blues, who have pulled two upsets in two rounds of this VHSL Class 2 playoffs. Stopped a buzzsaw in Ridgeview. Adkins had 210 yards on 16 carries. I think he had a score. And O'Quinn threw for 167 yards for the Wolfpack. Sage Webb did very well in the contest. He took a 54-yard touchdown to the house to clinch the game as number 5, Richlands defeats number 1, Ridgeview.
Yeah, we talked all year. We've seen the comments and stuff that Ridgeview needs to get Sexton more involved in the game. I know you weren't there, Brady. I was. You know, Adkins pops off the long 70-yard run on their second play, and he had a 50-yard later in the game. But outside of that, you know, Adkins was pretty much shut down for the entire middle part of that game. And it seems like I think 6 is the number I've come up with. It could have been a little bit more. For Sexton as far as carries, but they were all just jet sweeps. They didn't try to run him out of the backfield or anything like that. And you kind of notice at that point that what the fans up there have been saying all year is right. That team is better when both of those guys are a threat to run the football, and really only one of them was on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely, and it shows that when one is not working, just like you've just said, it's not a good day for the Pack, and it's resulted in two losses and season ender, and we'll see how the Wolfpack do into 2019.
And as a note here, there are some rumors out there as far as that 2019 that a certain superstar could be on the move. We won't say who or where or what or any of that stuff, but if that is true, that could be a huge blow to the boys up on Rose Ridge next year. And moving on, Richlands head into the regional championship. They're going to play Graham again. After Graham goes down to Union and exercises the Bullet Park Demons, they win 28-7.
How about the G-men? That's all I can really say. Cam Allen, 406 total yards. My, oh, my, mama, there goes that man. 333 yards through the air for two scores and 73 yards rushing for another touchdown. Nick Kastner, Aaron Edwards, those guys shut down that Union backfield. Only 144 yards rushing after they got 366 against Battle in that first round.
One thing I did notice here, the score could have been much worse than what it actually ended up being. It was following along on Twitter during the game, and I think Graham might have got inside the 5 for sure 2, maybe even 3 times and came away with no points out of it. So Union's defense was doing everything they could to keep it in, but just not enough on the offensive side to keep up with Graham. Over to Class 3. Abingdon played on Saturday night. That was the long wait for them. They fall to Lord Botetourt 63-27.
Great season over there for Garrett Amberge and the Abingdon Falcons, but too little too late for the Falcons against Lord Botetourt and their proud son, Jamie Harless. Lord Botetourt, big team. We saw them against Beaver and were very impressed by those guys. A lot of people in Abingdon said that we didn't give a lot of love to the Falcons, that we've doubted them all year. But you know what? It's hard not to doubt. I doubt anybody in the coverage area against Lord Botetourt because they took down Goliath, Ryan, and then they took down another top 5 team in our coverage area. So Botetourt going to roll deep into the 3 playoffs. They do so behind Hunter Rice's 191 yards and 5 touchdowns, and Evan Eller's 162 yards and a touchdown. That's all in the first half, Ryan. Unbelievable. Lord Body rolls.
Fun fact, I know we're obviously not going to cover this game, but Botetourt will go on this week to play Northside for the third time this season.
That's unbelievable, man. That is really unreal. But third time's the charm. But for either team, that's the case because they split in the regular season.
And up into the Class 4 ranks, Pulaski County, man, they tried to come back against Blacksburg. It just wasn't enough. Blacksburg wins 28-21.
Yeah, they trail by 28 in the third quarter. They come up 19 yards short of completing the comeback. You know that's unreal, as good as Blacksburg is. Rushing, Akers had 62 yards for the Bruins, and passing, he had 92. He was 8 of 17. He had two interceptions. Horton had four catches for 40 yards. The Cougars end a pretty good season over there in Pulaski. Watch out for Blacksburg.
Yeah, Pulaski, great season, but like we've always said that Class 4D region over there, it might be the hardest in the state, and that just proves it right here, that the number one team, Blacksburg, you know, getting a tough opponent there against the number five team. So it just really goes to show how good that region is. All right, that's it from last week, and now we have a special interview on the Coach's Corner. Brady, who did you go talk to in person with today?
Yeah, I had the pleasure, as always, to sit down with my head coach, Richlands High School ball coach, Greg Mance, who got win number 199 against Ridgeview in an upset. The Blues are clicking on all cylinders, and they are running into a big task at hand at Mitchell Stadium on Saturday at 2. And it was interesting to hear Coach Mance's thoughts heading into that ball game.
And without much further ado, here is Brady's conversation with Richlands head coach Zeus.
All right, guys, it is the third week of the postseason, and that means it's time for another episode of the Coach's Corner, and we got a repeat visitor in the Coach's Corner. He's in his 22nd year as the head coach of the Richlands Blue Tornado, coming off a big upset win against Ridgeview last week. I'm honored to be joined by my head coach, Coach Greg Mance. Coach, how are you, my man?
Really good. I mean, you know, it's nice when you get a chance to come out here on Thanksgiving and practice football. You know you're doing something right, and you're just proud of your kids. They've had a great season, and you're hoping to extend it one more week.
And, you know, last week, big upset win. I mean, both weeks in the playoffs, you guys have upset higher seeds. But last week, you go over to Rose Ridge, beat a really good Ridgeview team who finished the regular season 9-1. Limit Trenton Adkins and those guys to ultimately what was their second loss of the year. Just tell me about this past Saturday.
Well, it's the best football game we played. And, you know, we challenged our kids. If you go back to the 10th game of the season, well, if you go back to the 8th game of the season, we go to Graham and we thoroughly get whipped up and down the field in all three phases. We come back, we challenge our kids. It's not Richlands football. You know, we got to attack people and, you know, you got to learn to do the little things right. We're blowing too many assignments. And then, you know, we beat 11 team, had a long year. We go to Virginia High. We were down 14-0 at half. We challenge the kids at half. They come back out. We win in overtime. And then we go to Grayson County. We shut those guys out. Very good offensive team in the mud, tough conditions. And then, you know, last Saturday we go to Ridgeview. We played our best game. 400-some yards on offense. We didn't expect that. But the credit went to our offensive line. You know, we challenged them all week. We got to run off the ball. If you blocked the wrong person, we can live with that. We got to change the line of scrimmage, run off the ball. And I thought Race Moyer, you know, we kind of protected Race all year. He's a heck of a football player. He can run it. He can throw it. And, you know, we told Race it's playoffs. He's going to have to run the ball. If he gets hurt, it is what it is. But, you know, for us to be successful and move on, he's going to have to run the ball 15, 20 times a game. We got to throw it, you know, 20 times a game and, you know, can't turn the ball over. So Race, I think he had 170 rushing, 170-some passing. Just an exceptional day. Offensive line played great. Our little receivers, we caught the ball in space. We blocked the best we blocked. And, you know, to score 31 points on Ridgeview, they got a really good football team in their backyard. It was a great day for offense and defense. We gave up 21, 300-some yards of offense. But if you look at the big picture, they ran 54 plays. We were on point 51 out of the 54. We blew one assignment. Sexton got a loose for a touchdown. And then the Atkins kid, the D1 athlete, the tailback, he broke two on us, broke a tackle on both of them. And, you know, that's what D1 athletes do. But other than that, I thought we played great defense and just excited about the opportunity to play another week. I mean, our kids believe we can win. The coaches believe we can win. We executed the game plan and just fortunate enough to come out there with a few more points than they did.
And, you know, we talk about how the defense has been on point, and, you know, the last few weeks, you know, with the shutout of Grayson County and leading up to that. But going into that Ridgeview game, there was kind of some question marks with the offense not putting up as many points. Just what was the message last week? Because whatever it was, it obviously worked, because you put up over 400 yards of offense. That's a good week no matter when it is.
Well, anytime, you know, we challenge the kids, one, to run off the football up front. We got to change the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, we challenged Race Moyer. You know, Race is a tremendous football player. He's been a three-year starter on the defensive side for us. He was all-region second-team tight end as a junior. He was first-team all-region defensive end as a junior. And the kid's a player. And, you know, we were turning the ball over. We weren't sharp on offense. I think Race was trying to do too much. We simplified the offense. We got him involved in the running game. And we simplified the passing game. And, man, he just played outstanding. And we kind of go at Richlands as our quarterback goes. And, you know, Race had a great game, and it showed on the scoreboard.
And, you know, that defense, we mentioned it prior, been lights out. You got guys like Sean Toney and Ian Wade, Dylan Adkins. The list is just endless. Those guys have been playing smash mouth football. And one that comes to mind is that game down in Independence against Grayson County, 10-0 victory, forcing a bunch of turnovers. Just what's the credit to this Ronnie Davis defense?
Well, first of all, I'll give our coaches credit. You know, there's Brad Strong, Chris Altizer, Ronnie Davis, Aaron Lowe. I mean, they've done a great job. I mean, you know, we go through, I think, the sixth game of the season, we had created one turnover through six games. And so we started doing strip drills in practice. We started, you know, incorporating those into our tackling drills. We had talked about them, went over it, but really hadn't really emphasized it. So a point of emphasis was to be more physical on defense, to attack, and to create turnovers. And our DBs have really turned a corner. You know, J.J. Hess, big pick at Grayson County. Little sophomore, Logan Steele, little sophomore out there, little Noah Spencer. I mean, he's 125, 30 pounds, but, man, he's making plays in space. He's got an interception. He's made some really nice tackles. And then we've been really good at corner with Taylor Horn. He's just been exceptional. I mean, the kid's really good. And Logan Altizer, little junior, exceptional back there. And Logan's done a great job. And we've covered the pass extremely well. And the front seven have been lights out. I mean, they have attacked the football. And you mentioned earlier, got a couple. Dylan Atkins is just a beast. I mean, he's a three-year starter, and he just can't block Dylan. And then an inside linebacker, Ian Wade. Ian's playing with a torn MCL. An ACL. And Ian has played his best football games the last 3 weeks of the season. He's led us in tackles the last 2 or 3 weeks. And his emergence at inside linebacker has been huge for our defense. And then a little outside linebacker, Sean Toney, first-year player. He has been exceptional. He's led our team's tackles for loss, tackles for the season. I mean, the kid for a first-year player has just been exceptional. And Hayden White, big defensive end, junior, 6'5 kid, he's gotten a lot meaner, a lot tougher. His technique's improved. And so the defense has really bought in. Coach Davis has watched extra tape. And those guys have just done a great job, and they've gotten better and better each week.
You know, you mentioned week 8 a little bit earlier in the conversation here. What has changed since that Graham game? I mean, that was a 45-0 loss. I looked earlier when you were talking to the Bristol newspaper, the third worst loss in your tenure after that Lord Botetourt game I was a part of and then that Brookville game. But just what has changed, because you guys are on a hot streak, have rattled off 4 in a row right after that big loss up at Graham?
Well, when you get your hide in whipped, you know, you go back and you study it. Unfortunately, you learn more from your losses than your wins. Wins, you kind of think you're pretty good and you let things slide. But when you get your hind end spanked, you go back and you really pay attention to little things. And we did. And we had to clean up some stuff. We had to make some changes, which we've done. And I think we're a better football team right now, without a doubt. And the kids, we challenged our hind end after the Graham game. Monday was ugly out here. I mean, it was screaming and yelling and one-on-ones, two-on-ones. Tackling drills were live. And we beat each other to death the week of the Lebanon game. And the kids responded. They could have thrown in the towel. They could have quit. They responded. And it hurt their feelings. They were embarrassed how they played. And we watched the tape, and that wasn't Richlands football. You know, we're going to lose games. We understand that. Every program does. But, you know, we take a lot of pride around here in how hard we play and how mentally tough we are. And our kids, we didn't play with any emotion. We didn't play a physical football game. We got ran over 5 or 6 times on our sideline. The whole Graham team's jumping up and down. We couldn't get a first down. I mean, they just thoroughly whipped us in all 3 phases. And, you know, our kids didn't respond. And, you know, that just bothered us. And we showed them. We talked about Richlands tradition, Richlands heritage, Richlands pride. And our kids have, you know, it's important to them now. And I think they understand the tradition here, what they're expected of them, and they were embarrassed at how they played. And so we have, I guarantee you, we're a lot more physical now than we were 4 weeks ago.
You get a new opportunity this weekend to go up and face those guys that gave you that embarrassment week eight. Mitchell Stadium, 2 o'clock kick on Saturday. The Richlands Blue Tornado takes on the Graham G-Men. Just what have you done in preparation this week to get ready for Graham, and what have you seen on tape this time around that you might not have seen before week eight?
Well, you know, Brady, I can't tell you them little things. Somebody from Graham might be listening to this thing, but no, they're a really good football team. There's no doubt about that. Tony Palmer's done a great job. Their staff, those kids are well coached. Man, they fly around. They're so athletic. They just, you know, you can be where you're supposed to be and Cam Allen makes you look stupid. I mean, you can be where you're supposed to be and you can fit up the jet sweep and Devin Lester makes you look stupid. I mean, he'll make one or two guys miss and he goes to the house. And, you know, Cam did the same thing to us. We were in position and, you know, daggone, the backside guy just, he took a bad angle and Cam put his foot in the ground, skipped back across, and there he goes down the field for a touchdown. So, you know, it wasn't as bad as it looked. It's just that daggone, Graham's got some special kids that can, you can be in the right position and still not make the play. But hopefully this Saturday we can make that play, hopefully create a couple turnovers, keep this thing close, and then, you know, hopefully hit a big play or two and find a way to pull something out. But it's a big challenge. We understand that. Graham's the best football team we played. Other than probably Blacksburg. I think they're better than Bluefield right now. They have really grown, improved. They got the best two inside linebackers you're going to see on the team, 33 and 54. Man, they're the real deal. They fly around. They make plays. They got the best two safeties that I've seen in a long, long time. I mean, you got Lester and Allen, probably two D1 athletes. Lester's going to sign with – he's just a junior, but he's going to have offers next year. But those guys are really good up the middle. And then when you put around them, those guys are tough, they're strong, they're athletic, their corners are really good, they're big, tall, they can fly, they challenge you, they press you off the line. So it's a big challenge. We've had a great week of practice. I know our kids, we got some stuff in that Graham hadn't seen, and hopefully we can execute it. It doesn't look like we're going to get good weather. It looks like rain, but, you know, we practiced in it, got to play in it. It is what it is. Graham's got to play in it too. And, you know, we hope we can limit the big plays and we don't turn the ball over and make a few ourselves.
A couple of things that I've taken note of heading into this contest is the last time it was an all-Southwest District Region Championship was in 2008 when you guys knocked off Tazewell up there in the snow. I believe that was in 2008. That was also two Tazewell County teams. It's going to be the same case this Saturday. Just what do you remember about that game up there in the snow? That was a pretty tight one, 28-27, I believe.
Well, you know, we had beaten Tazewell 14-0 earlier in the year, and we knew they were really talented. They had a Muncie kid and Lockhart kid at quarterback, and they were really talented, and we played really well down here and kind of caught them by surprise. And, you know, we knew it was going to be close. It was going to come down to a big play. It was going to come down to special teams. And fortunately enough, we made a couple big plays that day, and really strong. Little freshman kicked them through there in the mud, which was really hard to do. And we had one more point than they did at the end of the day, and it was just a great win. You know, to beat Tazewell in a region championship was awesome. I think we played Graham, if I'm not mistaken, in – was it 05 in the region championship maybe, up here at Richlands, and it was a really tough game. It was probably the toughest game we played all that year to the state championship. And then in 06, if I'm not mistaken, we played Graham again in the region championship, and another good football game. So, you know, it's not the first time we played Graham or Tazewell County team, but Graham is just, you know, they're really good, and that's all you can say. We've improved since week eight. I really feel that in my heart. Last week's the best football game we played. All three phases played exceptional, and we're going to have to do the same thing Saturday and hope to create a couple turnovers.
I got two more here for you, one more on a sad note and then one on a happy note. You know, we lost somebody who was really close to us a couple weeks ago in Devin Johnson, and, you know, he meant a lot to you, he meant a lot to me and all of us here in Richlands, and you guys are carrying that 44 out to the coin toss, and you have the 44 stickers on the back of the helmets, and I thought that's been really cool to see. Just what have the last 2 weeks been like just for you since dealing with that, not only the death of the greatest player you've ever coached, but a really good human being?
Oh, yeah. You know, Devin, it's the hardest thing I've ever done when I had to speak at the funeral. And just a special young man, and it's had an effect on our coaches who got so close to Devin. And you knew Devin, that smile and charisma. You couldn't help but get close to Devin Johnson. He just drew you in. And, you know, to see that jersey on the sideline, and it goes back to the last time I really heard Devin speak to our football team. It was the halftime of the Graham game in the region championship. He came in, we're getting beat, and he challenges our kids at halftime to play Richland-style football and attack and not to sit back. And we go out and win the game second half. He shows up state championship game playing Appomattox, and, you know, he challenges them again. Well, it didn't work out that time. But, you know, he was with the Carolina Panthers that time and came down here to watch our kids play, watch our program. It's something he was proud of and he was a part of, and he took so much pride in being from Richlands. If you ever talk to Devin, he loved Richlands football and took pride in how we played football down here. And that's what we told our kids. You know, the guys that came before you set the tone. You owe it to those kids, to the previous players, to your family, to your coaches, to play your heart out every snap. And it doesn't take talent to do that. And I think Devin inspired those guys the last 2 weeks, and they've really played their best football. We really have. And I think 44 had something to do with that, with these stickers on the helmet. And we carry the jersey out. I think it gives them inspiration. And when things get tough, they go back in their head and remember what Devin told them at halftime. And, you know, and like you say, it's been a rough time. It just – we've stayed busy. And you know, I think the Lord was there with us last week. You know, we got a couple breaks. They had a couple kids get hurt. And we got a couple turnovers late in the game. So I think the Lord is with us too last week, but we'll need a great effort Saturday. But it sure is. It's awful sad, but it's inspirational when you look over and see that 44, because the kid was truly a special individual.
And here, just the last question on more of a happy note. You know, the win over Ridgeview was win number 199 for you. You're right at the cusp for 200. And I look back a couple of days ago to look back when that first win was, and I believe it was a 42-0 win over Tazewell back in year number one, but a lot of football has been played since then, and it's a big opportunity to get win number 200 as a coach. Just what does that mean to you? I mean, I, as a guy who played for you, I know that's something that you've not really thought about too much, but just right there at the cusp of that, that's pretty special.
Well, I never really think about those things. You're always so focused on who's your next opponent, what you have to do to get your team ready, what you have to do to get ready for the game Saturday. And, you know, Graham's so daggone good and athletic. I've watched more I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest with you. And it's something that's, you know, it'd be nice to get. It's not that important. All my focus and energy right now and thought process is on the Graham G-men to find a way. You know, we can cross midfield more than one time and find a way to get some points on the board and stop them from making big plays. But it's an honor. And 200 wins, it goes by. It's a credit to you. That's a credit to the other players. That's a credit to the assistant coaches. You know, anything, you know how we do it in Richlands, it's all family. And when one of us gets success, everybody has success. And that's one of the things I'm so proud of. When you talk to any of our players, they're going to deflect the publicity to the other players. I guarantee you, if you read the papers, you talk to Race, he's going to give credit to the offensive line, wide receivers. You talk to wide receivers, they'll give credit to the offensive line and Race. And if you talk to the line, they'll give credit to the backs and stuff. So we are a family. And our kids and our coaches, we all understand individually we can't have any success. We have to have our teammates, have to have everybody else for anybody to achieve success. And we share in that. And so if I'm ever blessed to get 200 wins, then Brady Hess, you're a big part of that. These coaches are a big part of that, and everybody's played here is a major part of that. And, you know, we all sharing that together.
Coach, my man, it's always a pleasure to sit down and talk football with you, and I'm excited to getting to be there on Saturday for the region championship against Graham, and hopefully me and you are pretty happy going into that game, because that means the Hokies have extended the streak.
I'm with you. Oh, boy, I'm worried about Friday. I'm telling you, there's a couple of Wahoo fans around here I've probably been mean to over the last 14 or 15 years, and boy, they are licking their chops right now. And so I hope it works out the Hokies' way on Friday, man, because if it don't, I'm in for a long, long month. I'm going to take a beat.
Coach, my man, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to sit with you.
Hey, same here, Brady. It's always nice to see you, buddy.
That is Richlands head coach Greg Mantz on the Southwest Virginia Sports Podcast.
All right, now we're back from that interview there, Brady. What'd you take away from your conversation with the God of Thunder?
Man, I always go into that office looking for about 17 minutes, and I end up staying in there for 2 hours, and I love to do that. I love to talk with him and just tell stories about when I played and hear stories about when he played and talk about when he played baseball in the Metro Conference at Virginia Tech. But nonetheless, it's always good to talk to Coach Mantz, and it's going to be interesting to see how the dice fall Saturday against Graham, and I think the Blues have a pretty good idea of how to stop what is Cameron Allen.
For the two of us, we obviously hope so. There might be some Graham fans that are listening today who might not agree, but we'll see how that one turns out. Should be a heck of a ball game up there at Mitchell Stadium in what looks like to be a rainstorm. We haven't answered questions in, I don't know, maybe about 3 weeks now at this point. So why don't we answer some questions, Brady?
Let's do it. Let's roll through them.
We'll start out talking about that Richlands Graham game. Flanker 87 asks, he had three questions, but number one was, will Mance return if Richlands falls to Graham on Saturday? That would leave him sitting at 199 in the win column.
I think he comes back. I've thought he comes back all year because I've heard him say that he's not coming back for a while. I really think he comes back, and I think that a lot of the people around Richlands have shifted their opinions as the year has went on that he's going to come back next year.
I'm certainly hoping he's coming back. If he does, they're going to play Gate City in Game 1 next year. That would be his 200th win. Should they win that game, that's a home game for Richlands. That would be quite a celebration, I believe, that would be had over there on the field at Ernie Hicks. So I'm certainly hoping he comes back. Maybe we should get together and start a GoFundMe or something to help him out. Whatever he needs to come back to this football team, let's make sure that happens, Brady. Flanker87 also asked, with the Narris Perry McClure scuffle, who do you hold responsible for the actions committed? You know, it's easy to say that's the coach, but the coaches don't play the game. How much is the player held responsible when you have brawls like that?
The player's held responsible 110%. I mean, they're the ones coming to blows. I'd like to think that I would have had enough common sense if I'm swinging at somebody with an orange helmet on from Honaker or a green helmet from Tazewell or a red helmet from Graham, wherever it may be, that when I see somebody that is a little bit older than I am with no pads on, I'd like to think that I have the willpower not to throw blows with a coach, and I think that the repercussions should be committed this week at school or next week if that student is not a senior. I think it should be next year, not next week, pardon me. I think that he should be suspended the first two games, if not more, of the season, and that's just me, but you got to teach kids responsibility, and I think that's a lot of the problem in our world today is people do not want to take responsibility for their actions, but that's what happens. That's what teaches you to become a man. That's what football does, and it's what a lot of people say. We have a man issue in the United States, and that's a completely different tirade, but nonetheless, you hold responsible who threw the blows, and I think that's Ryan will agree with that.
Yeah, I already kind of touched on it a little bit earlier in the podcast, and just an update, three players were thrown out from that game, two from Perry McClure, one from Narrows. That is a fighting suspension, obviously, and that's three games. So obviously Perry McClure's season is over. Those two players, if they play basketball or if they play soccer or baseball, that three-game suspension will carry over into that season. Same thing for Narrows. Obviously, that player will not play in this game. And should Narrows fall to Galax, that the other two games would continue on into their next sport this year as well. So getting thrown out for fighting is a big deal, obviously. And, three games, that in for a sport like football, that's a lot. But, you know, in something like basketball where you're playing 20, it's really not that big of a deal. So that is what it is. And the last question from Flanker87, can we say something nice about Tazewell?
Jamie Harris is a great guy. A lot of people up at Tazewell are great. They're always the rival, always will hate the Kelly Green just because I grew up in the Navy blue. But Jamie Harris is a nice guy. I really enjoy working at Tazewell Elementary School when I work up there. And a lot of nice people there and like to learn a little bit about the history of Tazewell football. But I also like to learn about the history of everywhere. But really a fan of Jamie Harris.
Yeah, Jamie Harris is a good guy. My good thing I'm going to say about Tazewell is they have Sonic. So that's a reason enough to go into Tazewell is go to Sonic and get yourself a foot-long chili cheese coney. So there you go. It's about the best you're going to get. Gridiron 60, if Graham can beat Richlands and beat the regional championship Demons, what realistically are their chances of beating either Apo or Radford to get to a state title game?
I'm keeping this one short and sweet in hopes to move on to the next question. I think 95%.
Yeah. I think beating Radford would be easier for Graham to do than Appomattox. That said, I would favor Graham in either one of those matchups. TBG fan, this year's Richlands team is in the playoffs. What do you believe is their strength, and what is their Achilles heel this season?
This is tough. Ryan's watched them more than I have, obviously, but nonetheless, I think the strength is when they can pass the football. It definitely always has been, but that defense has played lights out. Is it how the defense goes or how the offense goes? It's always if the offense can go, because the defense has been going. The offense has slacked at times, but the defense has been going. So it's definitely how the offense goes if you want a Richland successful outcome.
And then, like you said, I've watched them more than you have. I think the biggest strength for Richlands right now is their defense. Something happened after that Graham game. There was a come-to-Jesus meeting, and some things were tweaked. And since that moment, this defense has played absolutely lights out. That's the strength. And for me, the entire game plan, win, lose, all that stuff, it falls directly on Race. And that's nothing against Race. It's just, he's the quarterback, and this team goes as he goes on offense. You look at the Virginia High, or you look at the Grayson County games, didn't have good games, and those were close wins for Richlands. And you look at this win over Ridgeview, he had a great game. So for Richlands to win on Saturday, they're going to need Race Moyer to have a big football game. Big Tom asks, why do local colleges not recruit more local kids?
I guess they don't want to make money. I guess that they don't want more people in the seats. I don't really know. I think Emory and Henry and UVA Wise and Concord and those guys, they do a decent job, but they need to do a lot better job. Virginia Tech's certainly doing a better job with the Stephen Peoples, the Jordan Stouts, and the James Mitchells. But I don't really have a clue, but would definitely love to see more Southwest Virginia kids on collegiate rosters.
Yeah, that's an argument that's been going back forever. There's no good answer. We're not really sure why. There are kids in this area that can play for teams like that on a smaller college level stage. They never, for some reason, get the opportunity. So, shame on those colleges for not recruiting local guys more. #BBN, who do you see getting the Gate City coaching job, and do you think it's possible for them to return to dominance like they were in the past?
I think it's possible for them to return to dominance. I have no clue who will get that job. I think they've cleaned house down there, so I will be as surprised as you are.
Yeah, we saw today 18 applicants for that job. They're going to pick their top five and interview them and go from there. I don't know if he's applied or not, but somebody mentioned that mentioned Collie from over at Hayside. Maybe he would come down to Gate City. Should Collie come to Gate City, that would be very, very interesting.
Yeah, it would be interesting, and I'd like Gate City a little bit more.
But yeah, I also think that they'll be able to get back to their dominance. It's there for them to take. It's just they just have to make the right hire. Football fan 67, looking way ahead to next year, which team is the front runner in the Southwest District?
Man, it's way too far out to even really make an educated guess, but I'd probably say Graham and Richlands once again.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against those two, isn't it? You look at the rest of the district, and it's just really hard to bet against those two teams. Bearcat Dad, which teams were the biggest surprise and biggest disappointments in 1D and 2D?
I will say my biggest surprise and my biggest disappointment all in the same, and Ryan will laugh when I say this because it was nuts. I thought that Twin Valley was the biggest surprise in the early going, and then they ended up being the biggest disappointment for me personally because it looked like they were on their way to their best year in school history, and then the bottom fell out of it, and off they went. The biggest surprise in 2D, that's a tough one. I don't really know who to go with this one. I think we all expected Graham and Richlands as well as Grayson County. Union to be there at the top, Ridgeview at the top. So I don't really know if there was a biggest surprise in 2D, but I'm going to say my biggest disappointment is the same biggest disappointment as Bearcat Dad and the Virginia High Bearcats, Ryan.
Yeah, I was thinking about this one. I'll start with 2D. I was immediately started thinking, you know, is it Virginia High is the biggest disappointment? And I thought, no, it's not. It's Tazewell. It has to be Tazewell. This is a team that on our preseason pod, I picked them to go 5-5 and be a top five playoff seed.
So I was closer to my prediction of Tazewell than what your prediction of Tazewell was, and you've gave me grief about that for 12 weeks.
I know, and that's crazy. We talked about them so much, and they were so hyped up, and this squad is getting good, and I had seen the things, you know, that maybe next year this is a dark horse state final type team. And this year, I don't know what happened, but 2-8 against that schedule, losing to Lebanon in your last game, that is about as disheartening as it can get over there in the middle part of the county. My biggest surprise in 2D has to be Grayson County. I knew that they would be good. I did not think they would be 8-2 this season, though. That was a little bit of a surprise for me. I don't know why they keep surprising me, but this was also their final season in Class 2, so good luck to them in the Class 1 ranks. And in Class 1, the biggest surprise to me...
Can you not say Patrick Henry as much as you've doubted him?
So yeah, it's just going to say it almost has to be Patrick Henry, right? As much as I've doubted that team since week 2, apparently. Yeah, it has to be Patrick Henry. And I'll go with my biggest disappointment as Eastside. That was a team I thought was going to be a little bit better than what they were this year. Like you said, maybe the best team in the area with a losing record, but still they had a losing record. So we'll go with that. Bluefield Researcher, with all the games being moved, do you prefer muddy dirt or clean turf?
Love the muddy dirt, man. It is November. It is Thanksgiving time, and people need to be getting dirty. Last time I checked, football was a game to be played in the elements and in the mud, and I don't like us getting soft, so love the mud.
I saw a picture the other day of Ernie Hicks from the, I believe it was the Liberty Bedford playoff game in 2005. And yeah, that was pre-turf, that was pre-lights, that was pre-everything, that was the old Ernie. And it kind of made me nostalgic for that, for what Ernie used to look like, and all in the mud and the nasty that it used to be. So, but with that said, I still like turf. Sorry, I just like turf. UVA Observer, actually, it's all kind of tied the same. The UVA Observer, what would it take for Richlands to upset Graham on Saturday?
Playing the same exact game they played at Ridgeview. O-line yep, opening holes. Race Moore, you're doing everything. Defensive line, defensive entire unit, playing well.
It's also going to take Graham with a few miscues, maybe a key turnover here and there, maybe a key penalty here and there. Rich Lance is going to need things to go their way, though. UVA Observer also asks, how will you guys feel if we go 0-2 during Hate Week?
Man, that's going to be tough. And I think that... I think the Hoos might get it done. I really hope that's not the case, but nonetheless, 0-2 in Hate Week. Daggone, I'll probably feel real bad and probably cry and stuff.
I've been mentally preparing for this for a while.
Somebody brought it to my attention that if this happens, I'm not going to elaborate that it's your fault.
You tell Paul Van Wagner to just quit. It's not my fault. I have nothing to do with this. SWVA Havoc fan got a late one in. He asked, will Virginia Tech players eat turkey tomorrow since our mascot is a turkey?
Yes. Eat more ham.
Yes. You go to Virginia Tech football games and they sell gigantic turkey legs. That tells you all you need to know about whether or not we're going to eat turkey on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
And last question, one in stripes to add to UVA's 0-2 during Hate Week question. If we could only go 1-1, who do you want to win more, Richlands or Virginia Tech?
Hokies in this one all day long. I'm sorry, but I'm going with the Hokies because I'm going to catch a lot of flack if the Hoos win.
See, I'm completely opposite. If I could only pick one, I'm picking Richlands. I've always said that high school football is my favorite sport on this planet. I will stick to that forever and forever and ever. Amen. I would much rather see Rich Lands go on to play Radford or Appomattox than watch Virginia Tech have to sweat it out again against Marshall just to try to make a bowl. So
roll Hokies.
That roll Hokies. with that, we have five football games this week, I believe. So we need to make some picks. So why don't we dial up our good friend, Coach Chris Dubel?
All right, guys, we are back. It's the third week of the playoffs. It is third round football, and the first 2 weeks have been a ton of fun. Glad we're all back together. Ryan, myself, and then the former head coach of the Northwood Panthers, Chris Dubel, joins us once again. Coach, how are you doing the night before Thanksgiving, my man?
Doing well. Driving to Atlanta to see my mom for Thanksgiving. We're going to have a good meal and watch some football tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited.
You can't beat that, my man. Ryan, you looking forward to Thanksgiving yourself?
Absolutely. I have to eat meals at four different houses, so it's all about patience and spacing and making sure you don't gorge yourself at four different houses. So,
yeah, I'm in the same boat. I got a handful of places I have to attend to tomorrow, but always looking forward to the fellowship and most definitely the feast that ensues with it, guys. Let's look back at last week real quick before we jump into our picks today. Me and Coach Dubel coming in at 10-1, and Ryan bringing up the rear at 9-2. An upset was called correctly right in our faces by a man who has no tie to Richlands. So Dubel goes with the Blues, and he's rewarded for it.
Yeah, I don't know if just dumb luck or what, but I did. I felt like things were going well for them, and they had a shot. Turned out good for them, so I was pretty pleased with that turnout.
So with that being said, let's jump right into it, guys. This week we still have some football being played over in the wild and wonderful state of West Virginia. This time Bridgeport will make the 3-hour trip to Bluefield to play the Beavers Friday at 1 o'clock. Ryan, Bridgeport and Bluefield have met up in this stage most recently last year. What will be the turnout this time?
Same song, different dance. It's going to be the exact same thing as it was last year. Bluefield's going to get this win. They're going to play for a state title next week up in Wheeling, and barring some sort of crazy upset or something, I can't imagine Bluefield not winning the state title. So I'm going to take Bluefield in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Bluefield to advance this state title as well, and probably to win it next week. So I'm going to go with Bluefield as well.
Make it three's a party. I'm going to go with the Beavers as well. Bridgeport does have the best chiropractor in America in Dr. Kyle Hart, but that's not enough for Bridgeport High School. Give it to the Beavers to roll on Friday afternoon. Let's move across the state line into Virginia in Class 2. Appomattox goes to Radford. That will also be a Friday game. Appomattox been pretty good. Radford been pretty good as well. And what has been kind of a shocking year for the Bobcats after not making the playoffs last year. Ryan, does Prelude and the boys defend home turf against Appomattox?
Here's my plea to Radford. Please, 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 please win this ball game. Please. I'm begging you to win this ball game and make all of the state very happy when you do it. They will immediately become my second favorite team if they can get this upset. However, I'm going to play it smart, and I'm going to pick Appomattox.
I'm going to go with Radford and Prelude and the Bobcats. I think they're riding high right now, and like you said, Ryan, I think everyone would like to see Appomattox go down, and maybe it's about time. But I'm going to go with the Bobcats.
Man, I'm going to go with Ryan. I'm going to pick Appomattox, who have done very well at this stage in the game in recent memory, coming off some state championship wins. Radford will be at this stage of the game a lot here in the next few years, especially with P.J. Prelude in the game. But I think Appomattox has been there before and gets the job done. I believe this is also being played at Christiansburg High School. So I'm going to take the Raiders to get the win on the road. a game that I will be at and that Ryan will be at on Saturday at 2 o'clock in what appears to be a downpour. Richlands travels to Graham for a Southwest District Region Championship, the first Southwest District Regional Championship since 2008 when the Blues defeated the Tazewell Bulldogs by a point. These teams met in Week 8, guys. We talked about it with Coach Mance earlier in the podcast. Graham's a good football team. Handed him the third worst loss of his coaching career and what has been a good run there. And Richlands, a 45-0 loss at the hands of Cameron Allen. Ryan, round two, what's going to happen at Mitchell Stadium on Saturday afternoon?
Well, I correctly predicted that after I picked Ridgeview last week to beat Richlands that I would catch quite a bit of flack. And I was out on the field after the game last week, and I was talking to the greatest defensive back coach in the state, and standing beside of me and him was Taylor Horn. And he sold me out to Taylor Horn and told Taylor that I had picked Ridgeview. And Taylor wasn't happy. So I told him, I said, man, I won't pick against you again. So I'm going to hold to it. I'm going to take Richlands to win the rematch.
Wow. I'm going to go the opposite way. They've been road warriors to this point, but a 45-0 loss earlier in the season just doesn't give me much faith in the Blues this week. I'm going to go Allen in the G-man.
I'm a completely opposite of Ryan. I made a promise this week that is, if Richlands continued to win, if I picked against them, I would not pick Richlands again as long as the season went. I'm going to hold true to that. I'm going with the G-men in Bluefield. I'm kind of like Coach Duble. The 45-0 victory in the first half of the season is kind of shaky. But nonetheless, I've been a superstitious guy my entire life. If the Blues can keep winning games that I pick against them, let's keep that going. I think the only game that I picked against the Richlands this year that I've got right was the Blacksburg game. They defeated Bird when I picked against them, and then they defeated Ridgeview last week when I picked against them. So Cam Allen is a great talent, and he's going to put on a show for the Blue Tornado and Graham faithful there and Bluefield on Saturday. Let's move to Class 1. Narrows travels to Galax in a rematch of the region championship from last year. This time it will be at Galax instead of at Ragsdale Field in Narrows. Ryan, Green Wave overcomes some adversity, playing the Maroon Tide. It's the battle of colorful storms down in the city of Galax.
Yeah, this is I think last year was a better game than what this one is going to be. I just don't see any way that Narrows can hold up with Galax in this one. Galax just too strong. Coach Dixon knows exactly what he's doing. And let's be real, this whole season we've been on a collision course of Galax Chilhowee Part 2. So I'm going to take Galax.
I'm going to take Galax as well, fellas. I made mention of my opportunity to sort of have our kid butt heads with them in camp this year. They look great. I'm sure they've only improved just based on the way their season has gone. And I'm going to go with the Maroon Tide as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Maroon Tide as well, fellas. Mark Dixon and those guys have been clicking on all cylinders. Caxton Vaught, Blake Brown, if you got a Maroon Tide helmet on, you're going to do relatively well with the football. Narrows has had a great year, had a slip-up against Perry McClure in the regular season, and a slip-up against Giles. Other than that, we're sitting at a perfect record for Kelly Lowe and the Green Wave. But nonetheless, Galax's a tough place to play. Narrows season ends, and that's going to be a tough thing there in Giles County, but give me Galax as well. In a big matchup, a Hogahegie Region Championship. We talked about the Southwest District in Class 2. Flip the script. It's the same way in Class 1. We got a big district matchup. PH wins their 11th game last week, big over J.I. Burton, which two people called correctly that are on the phone lines right now, but we won't get into that. But nonetheless, the Rebels are facing the Warriors. Ryan, PH with a big, big statement at Emory and Henry last weekend against the Warriors, or not against the Warriors, the Raiders, pardon me. Can Mark Palmer and the gang get it done again this week?
Yeah, so I was the one that picked J.I. Burton last week. I was very strong in my opinion that the passing attack would lead J.I. Burton to the victory. I was wrong. I was very wrong. So congratulations to Coach Palmer on that win. Proved me wrong without a doubt. With that said, I think Chiu Howie actually is going to win this game by more than they won the first game between these two. Not that Patrick Henry's a bad team. Obviously, they're a great team. And I think, you know, if Chiu Howie wasn't Chiu Howie this year, then, you know, maybe Patrick Henry could go play with Galax for a chance to go to a state title. But with that said, it's just that Chiu Howie has too many weapons for Patrick Henry. We've already seen this game once. It's not going to change that much.
I was at that game the last time Chiu Howie and Patrick Henry played, and it was the Zach Brown versus Greg Sanchez show. They were beating the pee out of each other for 48 minutes. It was a good game to watch. However, Chiu Howie did pull away and won big. Since then, the Rebels have done what they've had to do to try to improve getting ready for this matchup. It's going to be a knockdown, drag out, I think. I think it's going to be much closer than Ryan thinks it's going to be. And I actually had a conversation with Isaac Eldrith and Dakota Rector after the game. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be in Atlanta this week, boys, but I'll see you in 2 weeks in the state semifinals. I'm going with the PH Rebels.
I like the pick there for the PH Rebels. But, boys, last week the Chiu Howie Warriors shut down Gabe Fizer in a way he hadn't been shut down all season. On the way to doing so, they hung up their largest point total of the year. I'm impressed with this Chiu Howie Warriors bunch. They've played flawless all season long. I know Jeff Robinson would be the first to disagree with me there. But the Warriors have played flawless football for 12 weeks now. And I think they're going to continue to do that on their they got a bad taste in their mouth from last year in Salem, and I think they want to get back there to put a better taste in it at the end of the day. So I'm going with the Warriors. Guys, you know, you look at the playoffs setting this week. We're going to have at least three teams playing next weekend, so we'll get to do this again.
Sounds good.
Let's be real. There's going to be four teams playing next week.
Hey, well, that's high faith in either Radford or Bluefield from Mr. Dye, but nonetheless, I'll take it. The more football, the happier us three will be. I know that's always the case. Guys, it's always a pleasure to get to do this each week.
Absolutely.
All right, and there you have it. There's our picks for this week. As Brady said, we're assured three. In my mind, we're assured four. we'll pick with him again next week. Any thoughts on the picks this week, Brady?
Man, me and him with a better record than you this week. Unreal. But our trivia question winner went 11-0 this week. Brett Compton down at Ramey and Richlands. Go check him out. Good friend of mine. But he balled out last week. But I think the picks were pretty much what I thought they'd be.
Yeah, just go ahead and soak in outpicking me. That hasn't happened for you very much all year.
I started trying to play get ahead by going different there at the latter portion of the season and some games that were literally toss-ups, and it tossed out the window my record.
So I get the title belt for the picks this year. I like how Coach Dubel, I love his reactions to our Richlands picks. They crack me up every single week, and we can't thank him enough for hopping on and doing that with us. Brady, why don't you go ahead and do your shout-outs?
Shout-out Buchanan County Sports. He's wrapping it up with football, getting ready to go into basketball with Grundy's loss. But a big thanks to Michael Dotson and Buchanan County Sports. Always enjoy looking at all the history that he uncovers. Really cool if you're Garden, Whitewood, Council, Grundy, Hurley, Twin Valley, or even a Triangular Mountain Institute alumni to get on there and take a peek at what Mr. Dotson has uncovered. He supported us. We'll support him until the cows come home. So a big thanks to Mr. Dotson. Pretty good partnership there. Madman in the Morning, Frank Browning, brother, keep doing the Lord's work. He was on WVVA this weekend, live from the Heritage Hall, where he was giving back to the community. He will continue to give back to the community. Guys, Madman in the Morning is on every Thursday in the morning on WRIC 97.7 in Richlands. It's always posted on Facebook at Madman in the Morning. He talks football, college, high school, and pro. This is his platform to promote his Madman Turned Santa, where he will go into the community and help those who are less fortunate to have a better Christmas. And I think it's a great thing, probably one of the better things I've ever really heard of and had the opportunity to promote. Love it. He helped 18 children last year have a better Christmas. He goes and dresses up as Santa. He knocks on the door, delivers their gifts. This year he's trying to help 40 of those kids. He can't do it without your help. We continue to post the address to the website. He is looking for donations. If you want to help write a letter to a family who's well deserving of having a better Christmas, please hit up Frank. He would love to put a smile on their face. Frank Browning, definitely the man of the year in Southwest Virginia.
One last thing before we go here. Tomorrow, as we record this, is Thanksgiving. So I thought it'd be fun, Brady. What are you thankful for in the spirit of Thanksgiving? What are you thankful for this year?
I'm thankful for a lot of things. And I'm thankful for my parents, obviously, and my grandparents and my entire family, my girlfriend Haley. A lot of things come to mind, but it's really a time when you can sit back and realize what really means a lot in life. And the recent decline in my grandmother's health is something that has kept that in check. So definitely thankful that we'll all be together tomorrow and hopefully for a long time into the future. But thankful for Hank the pup, man. He's doing real good right here, just hanging out. Got his pillow on one of my pillows. But Thanksgiving's always a good thing and makes you count your blessings. And I could go on a long spiel about how we need to take less time or more time to just stop and smell the roses. My roommate Marcus told me that, and Josh Hess told me that last week, time to just stop and smell the roses, because anything can happen, man. You can be out of this world in a blink of an eye and gone forever. And I'm just happy to be here and have friends like you and all kinds of stuff. And thankful for hopefully what is 15 years with the Commonwealth Cup.
I'll echo that. I'm very thankful for my family, obviously. I'm thankful to have an amazing job that I do that allows me to do the things that we like, go to all these football games. We get to talk about football. I'm obviously thankful that people listen to this or the people that read our website. This was something that 6 weeks before the season wasn't a thing outside of this podcast. Obviously, we did that last year. But the entire website, Coalfield Sports, the rebrand, everything about that was... It came together so quick, and man, I can't imagine that it could have went any better in year one than what it did. So thankful to you and Eugene and all of our staff writers for making this as good as it can humanly be. And I'm also, right now as I sit here recording this podcast, I'm very thankful to my wife for letting me buy a 75-inch television, because I'm watching Duke and Gonzaga play basketball as we record this on a screen that's way too big for our house. And my wife allowed it. So I got lucky in that category. I married the right one. So, but yeah, I'm with Brady. Stop and smell the roses. Things happen fast. Richlands lost another one last week, right before game time. A senior at the high school in a car crash, Destiny Slate. I've known Destiny for 7 years now. Lucky enough to work with her in our haunted house that we did every year. So that really does show you. You just like what you and Devin last week. I'd spoken to Destiny 2 weeks ago at a football game, and now she's gone. So life comes at you quick. So I definitely there with Brady. Stop, take your time, stop and smell the roses, and don't take anything for granted. So,
hey, let me tell you something else I'm thankful for. Thankful for been on a few hunting excursions this week and was 50 feet away from a 500-pound black bear, so thankful for life and not a run-in with a bear.
Thankful for life. That's the title of this podcast. I think that'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Follow us on social. Do all those fun things. Have a great Thanksgiving. If your teams are still playing, I hope they win, unless that team is Graham. Sorry, Graham fans. But with that said, for my co-host Brady Hess, my name is Ryan Dye. Do it, Brady.
See ya.
saw her cause she was born a thief. She stole tried to leave his mark. The mama said, boy, run as fast as you can, cause she was born a thief, now she's making me a wanted man.